So I'm wondering, what do you do with table scraps? Huh? What do you do with table scraps? You know, it can be a serious question today, these days, huh? Just think about all those fruit peelings and the half-eaten Brussels sprouts or the dropped macaroni or the unfinished piece of toast. I mean, we all know where they go, right? They go straight into the compost. The compost. Yes, of course, the compost container, right? Well, not every community is there yet. They don't all have that option. But, you know, it's interesting because according to one report I read, the average American wastes up to 25% of the food and the drink that they purchase. Now, I don't know, it seems a little bit high, but maybe not. I don't know. But it's just discarded, right? Spoils and throw it out. And this is at a time when another report said that approximately 1 in 6 Americans are hungry, that over 800 million people around the world don't get enough to eat. Scarcity in a time of seeming abundance. Yet no one seemed to agree on how to fix this problem. Food. Even the meager scraps and crumbs, it can be a divisive topic. And from the story we just heard, we realize that the same can be said for Jesus' time as well. Now, Jesus is going, as the story here, he's going into an area filled with Gentiles, people who aren't like him, people who have a different history, people who don't worship like him, people who don't eat like him. And he's just had this debate about eating and diet and cleanliness just in the 10 verses preceding this. Verse 10 through 20 of chapter 15 is when he's discussing with Peter about the difference about what goes into the mouth versus what comes out of the mouth. I don't know if you recall that one. It's a good one. The quote is that what goes into the mouth just goes into the sewer. That's a quote. Interesting. But what comes out of the mouth, Jesus says, that's what defiles a person, because what comes out of the mouth comes from the heart. Important distinction, yeah? And they were having all these battles about what goes into the mouth. And he says, no, it's what comes out of the mouth. And I can imagine that after all these debates and these conversations and all, that Jesus, he just wanted to be left alone, right? He wanted to get wherever he was going, turn in for the night, take it easy. And yet this woman calls out to him, and it says she shouts out. It's a Canaanite woman. Now, you know, already, with Canaanite woman, the disciples are kind of wary, right? A Canaanite? Those people? Well, wait a minute. Oh, no, we don't associate with the Canaanites. They're bad. They've always been bad people. They're unclean. They don't worship our God. And so what could this woman possibly want? And yet, there she is, in the middle of the street, wailing desperately, "Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Lord, Son of David, help me. My daughter's not well. She's tormented by a demon." And yet, Jesus doesn't say anything. He just keeps going, you know, head down, power through, right? I'll get by this. He just leaves it alone. Unexpected, as we heard, yeah? But there she is, still crying out, creating a scene. "Get lost, lady." I mean, one of the disciples might have yelled, right? "Get rid of her. Send her away. She just keeps shouting after us. She's making a scene." And so at that point, Jesus does pause, and he turns back to the woman, and now this is where we'd expect Jesus, of all people, to understand where this woman's coming from, right? We'd anticipate this scene to play out like a cut-and-dry miracle story, right? The woman cries out, the disciples scoff, Jesus heals, and then we learn a valuable lesson. But it doesn't go like that. In fact, Jesus comes off a little callous. "Ma'am," he says, "you know, I'm here to feed the children of Israel, not you Canaanites. Not you. You know, it's not fair to take the children's bread and feed it to the dogs, now is it? Well, what is Jesus saying here? Christians have been debating this for centuries, this particular place. You know, maybe Jesus was just grumpy. I mean, maybe he was testing her. And maybe the human side of him was mistaken. Some people argue that. And we could tie ourselves in theological knots trying to figure out the answer, the true answer here. But maybe I want to suggest that we should hear this encounter as a parable playing out within the larger story that Matthew is telling. Perhaps we should think of it as something like a riddle with multiple answers. You see, what matters most in this story is not the initial rejection, but the action that follows. I shouldn't throw the food to the dogs, Jesus says. Yes, Lord, replies the woman, yet. Yet. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Even we Canaanites are entitled to the scraps, don't you think? And I mean, can you imagine the look on the disciples' faces when they heard that? Their mouths drop open, their eyes bug out. What did she just say to him? Did she just talk back to our Lord? It was a pretty brave act on her part, you know, those bold, those jarring words and an action that rattled everyone's assumptions. A woman, a Canaanite, speaking to a Jewish rabbi? All the social barriers just got trampled. Now we can't read Jesus' mind in the story here. And we'll probably never know why he acted the way he did. But we do know that he was moved by what the Canaanite woman said. He was moved by her passion and her persistence and her faith. And so Jesus grants her the mercy that she sought. He heals her daughter. He restores their family. He wipes away her blues. Now, the experience of the Canaanite woman shows us that faith is not always simple or straightforward. Speaking up for ourselves and for others, calling out unfairness, challenging the status quo, these aren't signs of weak faith. They're not signs of a lack of belief. No, you see, Jesus pronounces this type of persistence great faith. In fact, what's interesting is this is the only place in the New Testament where those two words are put together, where the adjective great is used with faith. This is the only place, this woman doing this, great faith. And what the disciples, right? The faith of the disciples usually talked about is what? You of little faith. Great faith indeed. The Canaanite woman comes in a long line of these scrappy biblical figures who simply do not take no for an answer, all right? Who engage in what one scholar called worshipful struggle, going all the way back to Jacob when he wrestled with an angel in the book of Genesis. I wonder, where is the Canaanite woman today? Who is she today? I mean, perhaps she's part of those 1 in 6 Americans who don't have enough food to eat. Or maybe she's one of the millions who face daily violence and abuse, or perhaps one of the countless many who live with addiction or mental illness, or the list goes on. Where is she today? You know, and how many times in our lives are we like the disciples, trying to ignore these rather inconvenient problems? I just don't have time for this today. Excuse me, I got to get on my way. Or I've already given my money to the church for the week, and well, you know, she's just going to waste it anyway. How often do we sidestep someone who is crying out to us for help? And you know, sometimes I think we even get a little defensive or even offended when someone else points out an injustice to us. I do occasionally, I hate to admit it. I don't want to hear that. Now, perhaps you've been on the other side of this, huh? I mean, have you ever reached out to others, perhaps even good church-going Christians, only to be hushed up or shooed away or dismissed with a callous comment? Why aren't people listening to me, you might say? I feel like I'm invisible. A woman who was just ignored, she's screaming in the middle of the street and she's ignored. We live in a world that's hungry. Hungry physically for physical food and also hungry for spiritual food. People all around us long to be fed by things that have meaning, that have substance. We long to be a part of something bigger than ourselves, to be given direction, to be loved. And some of us are so desperate that we cry out on the street, "Have mercy on me. Just a crumb, just a scrap will suffice." And a part of our Christian journey, our calling through our baptism is to listen for those people calling out in pain or hunger or torment, to be attuned to their needs, to meet them where they are, to let them speak to us on their own terms. And sometimes they may seem as strange and as foreign as that Canaanite woman. And what she has to say to us today may sound as jarring as her words to Jesus. They may even shake our worldview, challenge our assumptions. And if you listening today are the Canaanite woman, if you're the one crying out in the streets to seemingly to no avail, don't be afraid. Take heart. Take heart, and don't apologize for your persistence. For God hears you even in times of struggle, even in times of doubt. God proclaims your faith to be great. To be great. Now, I don't think it's a coincidence that after this encounter with the Canaanite woman, the next thing that Jesus does in Matthew's story is to go down to the sea to meet with a crowd of 4,000 hungry people. And he fed all 4,000 of them from the resources at hand. We tend to hear these stories isolated and thrown out as separate pieces, but there's a flow, there's a connection to the stories, to the way the scriptures are handed to us. You see, God has this amazing ability to bring about change in the most astonishing ways, through the most unexpected people. God's work in our lives it's always surprising to us, always jars us, always shakes up our worldview. For God makes abundance out of scarcity, out of those crumbs. God is constantly taking the scraps from our table, the crumbs that we discard, and turning them into a feast to which we are all invited. And I'm grateful for that Canaanite woman, the unnamed saint, because through her perseverance, through her outspokenness, we catch a glimpse of God's vision for our world, a world where grace comes to us in the most unexpected ways. God's mercy and love are for all people, for those with little faith and those with great faith, for those who are hungry and those who are full, for those with the blues and those who have been restored, for the disciples and for the Canaanite woman, the one outside the church, outside the faith, outside everything society says is needful to be included. And God's grace and mercy are for me and for you. Let us pray. O God of abundance, we give you thanks for people like the Canaanite woman, for people who rattle us with the truth. Help us to be ever mindful of the voices of others, to those who cry out for mercy. Feed all of us with your grace and bring us to the day when all may gather at your banquet table. We pray in the name of Jesus, the one who responded to the persistent call of the outsider. Amen.